How do we learn God's will for us? Best place to go to find a lot of this out is the Bible. Basic. From the beginning, how did mankind learn? God spoke. But there's a lot of things. Sometimes I wish there were more details in here just to fill in, just to help a little bit. But there's also good when you're a teacher, you can fill in what you want as long as it fits what's there. God was the first teacher. He gave the information. He gave knowledge to Adam and Eve. You think about it. Adam and Eve were created by him. And it's interesting when you think about the fact that God gave them one rule. Right? According to the scripture, you read that, there's only one rule that God gave them. And that was, don't eat of this tree. I know most of us, when you look at God, was the father of Adam and Eve. They were his children. So in this situation, we're looking at an example. God set the first example of a parent. God knew what would happen if they ate of that tree. And he told them no. Now, how many of us as parents or even grandparents have seen that happen or even done it? Remember that we have done those kind of things. No, and generally there is punishment for failure. Is being punished a good educational way of learning things? It can be. There are sometimes I've known of people who will do the same thing wrong time and again. A lack of understanding what they're doing. How did the idea then comes forward? God gave man that one law. Think about Adam and Eve before they had children. How did they learn to be a parent? I give a lot of credit to my parents, learning from them, being pushed in areas, not just being able to just slide by, but to push ourselves to do better, to get better. Adam and Eve had no parents to learn that from, other than God. How did they learn to be a parent? What laws were there before the Ten Commandments? We know there were laws, religious laws even. How do we know that from? Who's the main character we can look to that we knew was very old? And that was Job. Okay, we have the book of Job. And we see in the focus there, and we see the things of aspects of family and the worship and the sacrifices that they did because that's what God commanded. Job was shown as that type of person. Now he jumped to today. How do we learn God's will for us? Everybody's got a Bible, right? It's here. Can you ever read the Bible too many times? And I would assume most of you, like I said, if you go back and you read something, I don't remember that being there. The object is, to me, when you're learning and studying the Bible, is to try to learn it from different ways. There's people that want to read it like a normal book, front cover to back cover. When I was young, fifth grade, that's the way I did it. I had a teacher, Sunday school teacher, who challenged us to do that, to read the Bible completely. And then since then, at learning when it gets to being teaching classes, though, You got to jump back and forth, jump around to find some of this. There's just different ways to do it. And the more ways that you can try to educate yourself through the Bible, the greater it's going to stick in your brain, and it's going to be there for you throughout your entire life. Different ways of learning today. With siblings and friends, we can learn from their mistakes as well as from our own. I'm the middle child, older sister, younger sister. So I was one that learned to be smart enough to find out the older one is the pathfinder, usually makes the mistakes. Younger sister was just one who just wanted to do what she wanted to do. So I kind of just looked and saw what they did and did not get in the same trouble they did. Now, unfortunately, there were things I did that I did not get caught for, and God gave me a good memory. and that comes back at me. I continue to pray to God and everything because I know the things I did. But we go through the scripture and we go in here and applying it to our lives. In this same way, we can learn from the mistakes by the people in the Bible. God has laid out his laws in the Old Testament for the people at that time. After Christ's death on the cross, we have only two laws to keep up with. God simplified it. What are those laws? Love God, love mankind. Those are the two that Jesus gave us. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul. And like unto that, love your brother as yourself. That's simple. So simple. Why is it such a difficult thing to put into application? First off, the people that don't believe in God, well, they're not going to go any further than that. And that law one, they're breaking, so they might as well not do anything. But we're here to live that kind of life. We have teachers. We have the Bible. We have the examples. Do you like to have all the rules and laws you have to follow in front of you so you don't make mistakes? I mean, do you think back in the day, I don't know how they do it now with driving tests, and I don't know if they... It's been so long since I've taken that. When I was younger, you had to read through the booklet. You had to memorize the signs. You had to memorize all the laws, how far you have to be when you're driving at so many miles an hour and all this. And it was tested before you could get a driver's license. Nowadays, it doesn't seem to have to do that as much. Looking through the scripture, let's look at some examples in here. Genesis 5, starting with verse 21. We're going to start with one of the good guys, good individuals. Enoch. Genesis 5, starting with verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. You want to know the rest of the story? Go to Hebrews 11:5. Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's fascinating. I mean, I want to be in heaven. I desire to be in heaven. I want to talk to this guy. There's not that much written about him. But what is in there is powerful. I'd like to know what he did. It would just be interesting to me. And the other one that was in a similar situation was Elijah. The only two men mentioned in the scripture who did not have to face death. Even our Lord and Savior Christ had to face death. And what the scriptures tell us, they don't really give us the background, the detail of what made them special. What was it that God chose these individuals especially? When you're looking at Elijah, and he left, and Elisha didn't want him to leave. Elisha had bonded to and continued to learn from, even called him his father in 2 Kings 2, verse 12, when he took up the mantle of Elijah to continue that which he learned. And he was a great prophet. Elijah and Elisha, both very godly prophets. And they did a lot to try to bring Israel back to where it needs to be. Now there's another story here of some people. Not as positive. 2 Samuel, chapter 13. Main characters in this story are Tamar and Amnon. Everybody remember that story or know something about it? This is while David was king. And David had multiple wives. And we can see a situation that's occurring here that with multiple wives, with multiple children from different wives. And it's interesting that that comes up in the scripture multiple times. Jacob had multiple wives with children from all of them, even the handmaidens of his wives. The situation of what was acceptable or what it looks like to be acceptable wasn't God's plan, was it? Did God tell Jacob to have multiple wives? No. Did that cause some problems with Jacob? Yeah. That's what we have the scripture we can learn from. In this situation of Tamar and Amnon, how many of you know the story? Good. Now I'll call on y'all. The other main character that comes into the story a little bit is one that we know, Absalom. Absalom was the son of David, one of many sons. Amnon was a son of David, different mothers. What we have to look at in this story, because where it is in the Bible, what primary thing or action took place prior to chapter 13? You look at chapter 12, what happened? What? What, Chuck? David committed adultery. And what else did he do? Committed murder. He wasn't the one who killed him. He had him killed, though. When you tell the guys to put him up front, and at a certain time, back everybody else off, but don't tell him, that's murder. In this given situation, and he then, after that point in time, what did David do after Bathsheba's husband was killed? Took her as his wife. Well, she was already the mother of his child. It has not born yet. But in this area, and then we're looking at what we can learn, the lies, the manipulations, breaking one commandment in order to try to think you're doing better with something, another commandment, is not what God wants us to do. He wants us holy in Him. In chapter 13, Absalom is probably the better known of any of his sons, other than Solomon, because Absalom actually later on took up an insurrection to overthrow his own father as king. Amnon, Absalom's sister was Tamar. Amnon and Absalom really weren't good buds. They weren't real friends. Looking in chapter 13 here, in verse 1, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. Yep, that's all correct. But Amnon had a friend, quote unquote, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man. And he said to him, "Why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Starting to almost sound like a soap opera here. We're getting a lot of individuals back and forth here. Verse 5, "So Jonadab said to him, 'Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand.' Then Amnon lay down." What kind of friend is Jonadab? Not the friends we want. "Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, 'Please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I might eat from her hand.' And David sent home to Tamar, saying, 'Now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him.'" Did David have no clue? Too many children that he didn't have any idea what was happening with his... Verse 8, "So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, 'Have everyone go out from me.' And they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, 'Bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand.' And Tamar took the cakes." Now, I'm wondering how old Tamar was. She seems extremely not there. Clueless, that's right. That's what I was trying to think of. "Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her hand and said to her, 'Come lie with me, my sister.'" That phrase, even as a half-sister, that's just wrong. So as we can see, looking from the good that some people have done and we want to emulate it, we can see here things that are totally wrong, and we're to get as far away from that kind of thing as possible. And she answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." Tamar's not stupid. She knows she's not strong enough to do anything to stop him. And she leads it and tries to make it something at least legal. Even though a half-sister, she's saying, if you want to be with me and marry to me, then let's talk to Dad and see if this can be taken care of in that way, which would have been legal. However, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Verse 15, then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise, be gone." So she said to him, "No, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. He called his servant who attended him and said, "Here, put this woman out, away from me, and bolt the door behind her." Now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. And the servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head, tore her robe of many colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. That's that part of the story. And if you read on, you find out Absalom knew what happened, told his sister, "Don't do anything." Absalom started planning. Now, to go back to the beginning of this here, where did Amnon get an idea of taking somebody by force? What? From an outsider. What did David do? Previous chapters, he wanted something that he did not own. That's wrong. And he murdered in order to get that. How do we learn? We learn as Christians, we want to learn everything in this Bible. And it's not an easy book to sit down and read cover to cover. But it is one that we need to have written on our heart so that we can understand and make the right choices. And I know not a single one of us has not sinned, because all have sinned, as the scripture says. Sometimes we learn from our sin what we're not to do. Sometimes we're fortunate enough that it doesn't affect anybody except ourselves, but we learn and want to know how to get closer to God. Ways of learning and the facts that we go through, and let's look at the New Testament. Acts chapter 5. Another fun couple, Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now a man named Ananias together with his wife, Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. Now, the background at this point in time is so many Christians and the church was growing so quickly that they needed money to help those to get back their homes, to be there, staying where they were. And a lot of people sold of their things and gave it to the apostles to take care of and the disciples. Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property. Nothing wrong yet, right? Nothing in the scripture there. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. By itself, that verse alone, does that say there's anything that's been done wrong? It was their land, right, to sell? They sold it. And they gave part of the money to Peter. Was that a sin to only give part of it? So what would be the sin? What lie? That's the tough thing here to see. We only see it when you go to the next verse. Verse 4. Because in verse 3 it says, "Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. The continuation of that, verse 6, "And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him." Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." They're not given the exact numbers or anything like that, but from this, we don't see it really with Ananias. But here, with the way the question is put out there, she had a choice, she had an opportunity to say the truth. But she, like her husband, lied. They wanted the people to think they gave all this. That was trying to be proud. They wanted attention. God would have taken what they gave, period. He didn't tell the people they had to sell everything they had for and give it all, did they? It's the same way, what does God want of us to give? With our heart, of what we can. Just don't lie and say, "Oh, I gave $2 million last week." Just for the attention aspect. This is an example, and it's interesting because after the second burial, don't you think word got around? Everybody who heard what happened, what did they learn? Be honest. It's easy to be honest. And you want to have that education. You want to have that learning ability. And the best situation of education and learning, Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 26. There are so many different places here of seeing where knowledge being and someone being educated and learning. "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. He says, this is desert means bring water. You're going to get thirsty. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. This coming from Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered, Philip said, "I ask you, of whom does this the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" This eunuch was a very knowledgeable individual, asked the right questions, made the right comments. "Help me, teach me." Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. That's all it takes. Teaching from the scripture. Now, they didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament. And what he is teaching them from is Isaiah's prophecies. And the fact that he backed it up with knowing the death of Christ on the cross. And that's how, I mean, the church was growing as it was. That was wildfire. So many individuals come out, again, their day of Pentecost. They had come from all over. And when they left, what were they taking with them? Gifts of the Holy Spirit, being able to teach, different gifts that were given to them in many ways, many situations. And the fact that the Jews were trying to come down on these individuals, these Christians, and they put Stephen to death later, they did not, what they did is they spread everybody out. Smart way of more people learning. God wanted all to learn. God wants us to continue to learn. We learn from each other. Any other comments or anything on other areas that you may think of? Come on. What else takes place when it comes to the what's needed for our education?
Study.
Read. What?
Desire.
Put desire on your heart, in your heart, to read, to study. The different ways of studying the Bible, and I've studied, again, as I said before, I've done it before from cover to cover, but I prefer to study topical, get a specific word, go through the whole Bible. Every time it's in there for a reason. Every single word is in there for a reason. Several years back, I remember teaching classes about horses, about clouds, and finding the fact that different places there, is that a good thing to study? Well, God put it in the Bible, there should be. If he put it there, it's something we need to learn. We need to know. All aspects of life. As we've seen through some of the different scriptures from the Old Testament, godly men that were so godly that they didn't even die. They didn't die a physical death. And we see wicked individuals doing what the wrong thing, which those around them would know, I don't want to be a part of this. the way that we're, the church is going, the church needs education continually. How you do it on your own or with a group or becoming a teacher itself and getting in front of people, taking the time to study in order to present God's Word. It's all there for us to use, to apply in any way that we can to help us get to heaven. How would you feel if you were asked a question about the Bible from somebody that's not a Christian? Do you feel comfortable enough to answer? And if you don't, what's the next step? Study. But at that certain time when someone's come to you to ask you a question about something, take them to somebody who might know those answers if you don't. It's not a higher, person or anything else. Every one of us should be teachers. Every one of us should study the Scripture enough to know how to teach.
So use it as an opportunity to say, let's study that together.
Yeah. Darren says that use that as an opportunity. Let's study that together. It may be something you don't know a whole lot about, but sitting down with somebody else and going to best way to teach someone is someone, especially if someone's asking questions. And where's the best?
If you tell them your life, how you became a Christian, that kind of helps too, because they look at you. You always been watched.
Yeah, we're all being watched as Christians. I live in Hope Sound, been there 40 years, and many years ago, it's a small town. It still is a small little town. It was even smaller 40 years ago. But I got involved with certain things with my kids, sports. I ended up coaching soccer for 14 years and doing a lot of things of building young people up. But the one situation, 1 year, it's probably about the third year I was coaching, there was a man that got his team. We picked the teams up and divided them up. And there was a man who had got his son got on my team. I really didn't know the family that much, but evidently I found out later on, he came up to me and says, I'm glad my son is on your team. You're a good coach and all, but you know what? I'm glad he has a Christian coach. And he wasn't a member of Church of Christ. It was such that my involvement in that organization they wanted me to be involved. And they were going to have all their meetings on Wednesday night. And when I told them I wouldn't be there, they changed it to Tuesday nights in the bylaws of the corporation. We can all have an influence on people. Doing little things like that. We don't have to ram it down somebody's throat. And during the entire time that I was coaching, running the club, doing a lot of things like that, my focus was on the kids. It was ways of, and it's interesting because when I first stepped in there, there were about 180 kids in the program. And 14 years later, when I left, there were over 500. And it was, I don't take all the credit. There was a lot of other people who worked hard there too. But I was pushing a lot of things, and that's educating them. So that when it came time for me to leave, there were people that were able to step in without any problem. I wasn't minded for life. I was not going to take that on for life. But we learn from the education of the Scripture. And each of you can go back and go through here and find examples, find stories. Sometimes it's hard to just read the law. Sometimes it's hard to put that there, but we still need to learn it. We need to apply it. The Psalms of David, the Psalms period, are excellent They're short chapters, except for 119. And then we have that ability to just meditate on it. Look at what the psalm says. A lot of history in the scripture, which most people don't like history, but I always loved history. And it's because I look at it this way. I'm learning from other people's mistakes in the scripture. God did that. God knew this was a people. The church was going to be a people-oriented entity. And therefore, we had to know about people. And the Old Testament tells us about so many different people, good and bad. And it continued in there in the New Testament with the same kind of thing. Any other questions or comments? Nope. I think the bell's going to ring in, what, a minute or two, Buzz? Yeah. Usually I like to get more comments, but nobody wanted to talk tonight. Each of us take your effort, make an effort. Study the scripture. Study the people. Learn from the people that God has given us as examples. Don't do what the bad guys do. Do lots of what those that are godly were. I'm seeing everybody else getting out there. Thank you very much for your attention and participation in the class.